RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, Indonesian wonder, and we'll continue our segment with miscellany. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Minister Puan Maharani talks about Pancasila at Jeju Forum. Indonesia and Germany signed maritime cooperation agreement. Indonesia and Japan committed to accelerating development of Jakarta-Surabaya Railway. Now the news in detail. Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture Puan Maharani was one of the keynote speakers at Jeju Forum for Peace and Prosperity 2017 in Jeju City, South Korea on Friday. She talked about Pancasila, the state ideology of Indonesia. In a written statement received by Antara News Agency in Jakarta on Friday, Minister Puan Maharani, before youth minister observers, representatives of UNESCO social activists and youth activists from various countries expressed her view on youth's future role in building a world sustainable peace. She views the youth energy to build advanced and dignified civilization can be based on the principle contained in Pancasila, whose essence is mutual cooperation, the spirit of brotherhood and kinship. Minister Puan Maharani also remarked that Indonesian experience with community of more than 700 tribes united in the auspices of the nation's ideology, Pancasila. The participants of Jeju Forum are mostly active and accomplished young people from various countries such as regions of America, Europe, Asia Pacific, Africa and Middle East. Indonesia and Germany have signed a Memorandum of Understanding, MOU, on maritime cooperation in Berlin, Germany more recently. The document signed by Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan and Deputy Prime Minister of Germany Sigmar Gabriel, who is concurrently Foreign Minister, according to a press statement of the Minister on Friday, June 2. The agreement is an implementation of a joint declaration on comprehensive cooperation between Indonesia and Germany, which was issued in Jakarta on July 12, 2012. The MOU will cover strategic cooperation in maritime sea security and safety, maritime infrastructure investment, shipbuilding investment, research, technology, as well as training. Japanese Ambassador to Indonesia Masafumi Ishii said that Indonesia and Japan are committed to accelerating the development of medium-speed railway facilities for Jakarta-Surabaya route. This was stated at the Vice President's office in Jakarta on Friday. By the support of Vice President Yusuf Kalla, big projects can run well. He will try again to make big projects benefit both countries, Indonesia and Japan. The chairman of the Vice Presidential Expertise, Sofian Wanandi, said that the commitment is supported by the implementation of the schedules, which was drawn out by the Minister of Public Works, led Indonesian team and the Japanese team for conducting a feasibility study. He said that they are making a joint feasibility study to accelerate the railway construction and establish the necessary investment. He added that the joint study has been discussed well and everything is going according to plan. Minister of Indonesian State-Owned Enterprises Rini Sumarno affirms that RSID is committed to sponsoring the 2018 Asian Games by providing services for athletes and continents in Jakarta and Palembang. This was stated by Minister Rini Sumarno at the Office of Vice President in Jakarta on Friday. In a meeting on specifically with Vice President Yusuf Kalla as chairman of the organizing committee of the 2018 Asian Games, Minister Winnie led a delegation consisting of seven directors of state-owned companies, namely Pertamina, BRI, BNI Bank Mandiri, BTN, PT Telkom, and Perusahaan Gas Negara, PGN. She added that the Vice President Yusuf Kalla also asked state-owned enterprises to take the opportunity of Asian Games to take place in Jakarta and Palembang on August 18 until September 2, 2018 as a media campaign because the audience from all over the world will see the event through TV and social media. Minister Rini also remarked that other forms of state-owned sponsorship for hosting the Asian Games in Jakarta and Palembang will also be present in advertisement, but he has not been able to detail the format to be used. Minister Rini has also appointed President Director of PT Telkom Alex Naga as the coordinator of the state-owned enterprises in sponsoring the Asian Games 2018. Head of West Kalimantan Regional Planning and Development Agency, Ahi in Pontianak on Friday ensured that in 2019 the railway development program will begin in the province. He said for the year 2018 the program will begin in East and Central Kalimantan first. Currently, the plan for railway development in West Kalimantan has been included in the preparation phase of facility tests conducted by Directorate of Railway at the Ministry of Transportation. Ahi added that the plan for the initial phase of railway construction will be carried out in the city of Pontianak, Mempawah, Singkawang, and Sambas, especially in the border region. The rest that is Landak and Sanggau. Ahi also explained the railway will pass some areas of Vicland, which is considered quite heavy. Then there will be a special treatment for the rails that pass through the peatland. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Investigators of Jakarta Police Metro Jaya will coordinate with the International Police Interpol to see whereabouts of Rizik Sihab, chairman of Islam Defenders Front, FBI. Chairman of the Metro Jaya Police Legal Director Senior Commissioner Agus Rahmat stated in Jakarta on Tuesday that coordination has been sought with the Interpol. The efforts to establish coordination are being made by involving the National Police Headquarters Criminal Investigation Department. The police have issued an arrest warrant against Shihab and included his name on the wanted person list. He said that Shihab has been in Saudi Arabia since April 26 based on immigration data. The government of Indonesia will continue its commitment to enhance cooperation with fellow African countries. In this regard, Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi and Deputy Minister Ian Fajir will visit several African countries starting from 3rd to 10th of June 2017. Minister Retno is scheduled to visit Nigeria from 3rd to 6th of June, while Deputy Minister is going to visit Senegal and Kenya on 7th to 10th of June. Spokesperson of Foreign Affairs Minister Armonata Nasir said in Jakarta on Friday that their visit to the three African countries part of Indonesian commitment to improve cooperation relations with African countries after Minister Retno previously visited South Africa and Mozambique earlier this year. Armonata also explained that the countries in the African continent have wide potential that has not been utilized in order to increase cooperation with Indonesia.
Kunjungan ini sebenarnya menunjukkan kembali bahwa komitmen Indonesia.
The visit actually shows again Indonesia's commitment to enhance cooperation with African countries. As what Medan Minister emphasized earlier this year, one of the issues to discuss is about strengthening our cooperation, considering Africa's great potential that has not been utilized, and Africa is one of important non-traditional markets for Indonesia. Meanwhile, Director of Africa of the Foreign Affairs Ministry, Daniel Simanjuntak, said that during her visit to Nigeria, Minister Retno Marsudi is scheduled to attend business forum meeting and to sign cooperation contracts between the two countries. In addition, according to Daniel Simanjuntak, Minister Retno is also scheduled to attend virtual meeting to discuss issues related to enhancement of palm oil cooperation and tariff reduction measures that hamper Indonesian products to enter African market. During the visit, both Minister and Deputy Minister will be accompanied by several Indonesian business people. The last item, Indonesian Embassy in Cairo helps a number of Indonesian workers in Egypt to get their rights. The informal workers are mostly women who work in domestic sector. This was stated by Head of Consular and Protocol Affairs Widratmo Suwarno to arrival service force Indonesia in Cairo. About 6 women workers who had been in shelter recently are waiting the agreement between Indonesian embassy and their employers to give the workers salary rights.
Tapi yang masalah adalah mereka yang lari dari
majikan. The problem is that they escaped from the employers for some reasons like suffering from bad treatment. They did not get their salary or they never come back to their home in Indonesia for a long time. They go to the embassy for asking help. Recently, there had been 6 workers in the shelter. Indonesian embassy lawyer tries to negotiate with the employers and to encourage them to pay everything. Windrat Mels explained that until now there is no agreement between the two governments to send informal workers to Egypt. Usually the workers are sent legally and personally. He added that the number of informal workers from Indonesia reaches about 2,000. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Hey Michelle, what are you reading?
Oh, hi Steve. I'm reading an Indonesian travel brochure. And guess what?
What?
It's really fun and challenging, you know?
Really?
Yeah, all scenery looks so beautiful. Now I can decide where to visit.
Well, how about Joglo Semar? It is short term for Yogyakarta, Solo, and Semarang.
Oh.
And it is one of the 10 main tourism destinations in Indonesia.
Okay, I'll try to Joglo Semar. Make your dream of having a holiday in Joglo Semar, Indonesia come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2017. Answer the following question. 1. Please mention some VOI programs and which one is your favorite. 2. When do you listen to VOI and in what language? 3. How do you listen to VOI? 4. What is your suggestions for VOI? 5. Tell us briefly, what do you know about Indonesia?
Send the answers along with your personal data, passport number, and passport expiry date to VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id. VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id before August the 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia.
Various important events occurring this week are featured in the editorial of some of the leading media published in Jakarta and are summarized in press review. Let's start with Media Indonesia newspaper. In its editorial on Wednesday, May the 31st, the paper wrote, "Revision for Early Detection." The Indonesian Parliament seems to be accustomed to be sluggish in discussing bills and the government, on the other hand, is too lazy to urge the acceleration of discussions. This is a common phenomenon in this country. Sometimes the sluggishness does not have a harmful effect, but sometimes the results can be fatal if the postponement concerns a very strategic and very wide-ranging bill of laws. That is what now happens with the discussion on the revision of Law No. 15 of 2003 on anti-terrorism law. Everyone knows, including the government and the House, that the old Anti-Terrorism Act is not enough teeth to detect early and prevent the spreaders and actors of terror in action. The law, drafted in 2002-2003 base was the pattern of the terror movement at that time was clearly irrelevant when confronted with the current reality. Therefore, many people have urged the law to be revised soon. It is primarily to anticipate the development of transnational crime in the form of terrorism. The country needs a stronger yet more flexible legal umbrella to prevent and suppress terrorism that continue to mutate with its new networks. However, these important interests are not taken seriously by Parliament, it seems. That is evident from the unfinished discussion of the anti-terrorism bill, despite having taken 5 sessions and now is entering the 6th session. If that is not complete, the public may doubt the House commitment and partiality in the fight against terrorism. According to Media Indonesia, it cannot be stalled anymore. As confirmed by President Joko Widodo on Monday, May the 29th, the discussion on anti-terrorism bill must be accelerated. The aides of the President, especially the Coordinating Minister for Political and Security Affairs, must translate the President's affirmation by continuing to urge and pursue Parliament to immediately complete it. The government should also ensure that in the new law, the handling of terrorism involves all relevant elements such as intelligence, the military, and the National Agency for Counterterrorism. The core of the anti-terrorism law reform should be in the spirit of strengthening the Indonesian police in taking early preventive action. Let's end the press review with Republika newspaper, which in its editorial on Wednesday, May the 31st, wrote, "Maintaining meat prices." As in the previous years, the rise in beef prices is inevitable in this month of Ramadan. It has begun to be felt by people in some areas in Indonesia. They have bought beef in traditional markets with prices higher than those before the month of Ramadan like now. The increase in meat prices is expected to peak some days ahead of Idul Fitri holiday. Although the Trade Ministry claimed that no increase in the price of meat in some areas, the fact that the fluctuation of meat prices, although still small, remains unavoidable. Data of the Ministry of Trade states that beef, whether local or imported one, is sufficient, unable to withstand and the price of the last week rising. All parties hope the government's promise to withstand the price of meat as much as possible can be realized this year. On the other hand, according to Republika, the government needs to set up a good distribution so that the presence of sufficiently claimed meat stocks can really be enjoyed by the community. Proper and correct distribution will be able to keep the price because between demand and supply is balanced. Well, that was press review over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listeners. Nice to meet you again in our regular program, Today in History, of our arrival service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, we start for an event on June 3rd, 1947, when Indonesian National Soldier was inaugurated by President Sukarno. The state of Indonesia at the beginning of its establishment did not have unity of soldiers. The People's Security Agency established on 23rd August 1945 was not an official military organization. The People's Security Agency, through the government's notice dated October 5, 1945, was changed to the People's Security Army. The People's Security Army renamed the People's Salvation Army. Then it changed again to the Army of Republic of Indonesia. Because at the time in Indonesia, there were other armed ranks other than the Army of Republic of Indonesia. Then on May 5, 1947, the then President Sukarno issued a decision to unite the armed forces of Republic of Indonesia with the armed roads into the Indonesian National Army. The union was inaugurated on 3rd June 1947. The next event was in 1965 when Edward Huggins White II became first American to walk in space. Edward Higgins, at Y2, was an American aeronautical engineer, U.S. Air Force officer, test pilot, and NASA astronaut. On June 3, 1965, he became the first American to work in space. White passed away along with astronaut Virgil Gus Grissom and Roger B. Savey during free launch testing for the first manned Apollo mission at Cape Canaveral. He was awarded the NASA Distinguished Service Medal for his flight in Gemini 4 and then awarded the honor posthumously. And the last event was in 2006 when Montenegro declared independence. Montenegro is a sovereign state in southeastern Europe. Its capital and largest city is Podgorica, while Kancinja is designated as the old royal capital. After the breakup of Yugoslavia in 1992, the republics of Serbia and Montenegro together established a federation as the Federal Republic of Yugoslavia. Although its status as the legal successor to Yugoslavia was opposed by other former republics and denied by the United Nations. In 2003, it renamed itself Serbia and Montenegro on the basis of an independent referendum held on 21st May 2006. Montenegro declared independence on 3rd of June of the year. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. Today it's entitled Megawati Invites the World to Apply Pancasila. Former Indonesian President Megawati Soekarnoputri was invited by the South Korean government to attend the Jeju Forum for Peace and Prosperity. A number of world leaders and former heads of state, along with delegates from 70 countries, were present, bringing the idea of peace in the event, which took place from May the 31st to June the 2nd. Participants consist of politicians, bureaucrats, diplomats, academics, entrepreneurs, journalists, and representatives of international institutions. Some world leaders were key speakers in the forum, including former Vice President of the United States, Al Gore, former President of Portugal, Aníbal Cavaco Silva, and the fifth President of Indonesia, Megawati Soekarnoputri. Right on the birthday of Pancasila on June 1st, Megawati delivered her speech as a representative from Asia. On that occasion, she read out Pancasila, which is the foundation of the Republic of Indonesia. Megawati said Pancasila could be the idea of world peace. She called on the international community, especially Asia, to implement the values that exist in Pancasila. According to her, Pancasila, which became the basis of the state of Indonesia, can also be used to solve various problems of the world. She said Pancasila could serve as a guide for Asia to bring about social justice and prosperity. According to Megawati, Pancasila is a spiritual, political, economic, and other guide. Pancasila can be implemented internationally to find solutions for life together. Megawati is convinced that no one wants to transfer conflicts to the younger generations. Therefore, Pancasila can be a guideline for realizing peace. During her trip to South Korea, Megawati met with South Korean President Moon Jae-in, who specifically asked Megawati to bridge the two Koreans' reunification process. Megawati also inaugurated a botanical garden in the Saegyeopo area in the middle of Jeju Island, which was named Megawati Soekarnoputri Jongwon or Megawati Soekarnoputri Garden. In her speech, she said she was honored to the naming this botanical garden. Megawati is currently the chairman of the Indonesian Botanical Gardens Foundation. On the sidelines of the Jeju Forum for Peace and Prosperity 2017, Megawati Soekarnoputri also met the 45th Vice President of the United States, Al Gore. After the meeting, she told reporters that they discussed the alarming condition caused by global warming, the melting of ice in the Arctic, South Pole, and Iceland. Well, that was Focus today on Megawati invites the world to apply Pancasila.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Here in News and Brief, read by Rahmana. Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture, Puan Maharani, was one of the keynote speakers at Jeju Forum for Peace and Prosperity 2017 in Jeju City, South Korea, on Friday. Indonesia and Germany have signed a Memorandum of Understanding, MOU, on Maritime Cooperation in Berlin, Germany, more recently. The document was signed by Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan and Deputy Prime Minister of Germany, Sigmar Gabriel, who is concurrently Foreign Minister, according to a press statement of the minister on Friday, June 2nd. Japanese Ambassador to Indonesia Masafumi Ishii said that Indonesia and Japan are committed to accelerating the development of medium-speed railway facilities for Jakarta-Surabaya route. Minister of Indonesian State-Owned Enterprises Rini Sumarno affirms that their side is committed to supporting the 2018 Asian Games by providing services for athletes and continents in Jakarta and Palembang. Head of West Kalimantan Regional Planning and Development Agency Aki Inpontian on Friday ensured that in 2019 the railway development program will begin in the province. Investigators of the Jakarta Police Metro Jaya will coordinate with the International Police Interpol to see the whereabouts of Rizik Shihab, chairman of Islam Defenders Front, FPI. The government of Indonesia will continue its commitment to enhance cooperation with fellow African countries. In this regard, Indonesian Foreign Press Minister Retno Marsudi and Deputy Minister Ian Fajar will visit several African countries starting from 3rd to 10th of June 2017. Indonesian embassy in Cairo helps a number of Indonesian workers in Egypt to get the rights. The informal workers are mostly women who work in domestic sector. This was stated by Head of Consular and Protocol Affairs Windratmo Suwarno to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Cairo. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Hey Michelle, what are you reading?
Oh, hi Steve. I'm reading an Indonesian travel brochure. And guess what?
What?
It's really fun and challenging, you know?
Really?
Yeah, all scenery looks so beautiful. Now I can decide where to visit.
Well, how about Joglo Semarang? It is short term for Yogyakarta, Solo, and Semarang.
Oh.
And it is one of the 10 main tourism destinations in Indonesia.
Okay. I'll try to Joglo Semarang. Make your dream of having a holiday in Joglo Semarang, Indonesia come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2017. Answer the following question. 1. Please mention some VOI programs and which one is your favorite. 2. When do you listen to VOI and in what language? 3. How do you listen to VOI? 4. What is your suggestions for VOI? 5. Tell us briefly, what do you know about Indonesia?
Send the answers along with your personal data, passport number, and passport expiry date to VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id. VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id before August the 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia!
Thank you.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 9525 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. Welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to one typical food in Bogor, West Java Province. Stay tuned. Listener, Bogor is a well-known with various tourism destinations. Besides tourism, Bogor is also known with various typical foods which arouse appetite. One of Bogor typical foods which becomes favorite in holy month of Ramadan is glosor noodle. Listener, endure hunger and thirst all day make us want to eat food and fresh drinks when breaking. Glosor noodle is one of delicious foods, so culinary lovers will be addicted with the food. Bogor typical food is enjoyed by people because the food is different from noodle in general. Glosor noodle has soft texture and its seasoning become absorbed perfectly. Moreover, the noodle is blessed with hot peanut seasoning, which makes more delicious. Listener, glosor noodle has raw material from cassava flour, which is mixed with turmeric. It is hunted by not only culinary lovers, but also local people who love to consume Bogor typical food during Ramadan. This culinary is very special, beginning from texture, strong spices, until savory sago crackers all mixed together. Listener, usually the raw material for glosor noodle is sold in the form of plastic packaging and ready to be cooked at home. However, if you do not want to be bothered to cook by yourself, there are some markets and stalls in Bogor which sell glosor noodle which is ready to be eaten. Those stalls are open starting from 3 p.m. until 7 p.m. Listener, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Thank you for still being with us, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157 Jakarta, or to our email address at english@voi.co.id. Listeners, now let's listen to our segment Miscellany.
Miscellany. Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, listener. Welcome back again in our segment of Miscellany. In today's Miscellany, we'll bring you to the islands of God, Bali. With majority of people in Bali practice Hindu as their religion, Bali is known worldwide with its strong Hindu culture. Visitors will find temples as the places of worship, and the people still strongly hold their Hindu traditions passed by their ancestors. Known by their strong Hindu culture, Hindu is not the only religion in Bali. There are also other religions practiced by the people in Bali, such as Islam. Today, we'll tell you about the Loloan Muslim Village. Listener, the Balinese live their life in strong Hindu traditions and ritual. However, the Balinese Hindu could live peacefully and harmony along with people with other religions, including Islam. The high level of tolerance shown by the people in Bali despite the religions they practice portrays the true beauty of life that reasons brings people back to Bali again and again. The harmony is shown in Loloan Muslim Village, located in the south of Jembrana, Bali. Despite being surrounded by temples and clouds by the incense smoke known locally as dupa, Muslims in this village continue to live amidst the society and socialize in harmony and peace. Loloan Village is an ancient village inhabited by the Muslims in Bali for a very long time. The existence of the largest Muslim village in Jembrana district cannot be separated from the influence of Bugis and Malay culture brought by some influential figures around 4 centuries ago. Based on data from various sources, the beginning of Loloan village started in 1653 when Sultan Hasanuddin's soldiers of Bugis tried to escape from the chase of the Dutch troops to the area around the Ijo Gading riverside. The winding river inspired the Bugis troops to name the area as Loloan. The relics could be easily found in the Sumur Bajo by the beach. In addition to the Sultan Hasanuddin soldiers, the next arrival was a figure named Buyut Labai in 1675. Buyut Labai was also known as a great scholar from Sarawak, Malaysia. Listeners, in addition to the unity between Muslims and Hindus, Loloan people often hold games inherited by their ancestors, such as playing stick and fire soccer. They also develop art brought by the Islamic propagators from Arab, like gambus and zafin arts. The main livelihood of Loloan people is fishermen. This is the legacy they got from their ancestor, which is famous as sailor masters. Another distinctive feature of the Loloan village is a typical Bugis Malay stage house. This traditional house is believed to be built by the Bugis soldiers. Listener, that was our segment of Miscellany for today. See you again in the next editions of Miscellany over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa lagi.
meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Hey Michelle, what are you reading?
Oh, hi Steve. I'm reading an Indonesian travel brochure. And guess what?
What?
It's really fun and challenging, you know?
Really?
Yeah. All scenery looks so beautiful. Now I can decide where to visit.
Well, how about Joglo Semar? It is short term for Yogyakarta, Solo, and Semarang.
Oh.
And it is one of the 10 main tourism destinations in Indonesia.
Okay, I'll try to Joglo Semar.
Your dream of having a holiday in Joglo Semar, Indonesia come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2017. Answer the following question. 1. Please mention some VOI programs and which one is your favorite. 2. When do you listen to VOI and in what language? 3. How do you listen to VOI? 4. What is your suggestions for VOI? 5. Tell us briefly, what do you know about Indonesia?
Send the answers along with your personal data, passport number, and passport expiry date to VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id. VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id before August the 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Dee, in Music Corner. Today, we present you a young female singer from Indonesia, Fatin Sidikia. To open this edition, let's listen to a song called Kekasihmu.
Seperti keras bukti, ku ingin kembali suci. Sepening embun pagi, ku ingin kembali suci. Tanpa noda yang tertumpah, ku kembali ke jalanmu. Ibadahku agar
Now that was Kekasihmu by Fatin. The lyrics of the songs are the heart story of someone who surrendered his or her heart to God. Kekasihmu is the first religious single by Fatin Sidikia Lubis, a singer who was born in Jakarta July 30, 1996. Fatin Sidikia, or as we call Fatin, started her career in Indonesian music scene by joining a talent scout in one of the national private televisions in 2012. Not only being the only hooded participant, but Fatin also put all her ability to finally win the competition. After the talent scout, Fatin continues to work with her distinctive voice. She released her single debut entitled Aku Memilih Setia in 2013. In addition, Fatin also released a pop album in the same year entitled For You, which contains pop genre songs. Not only there, Fatin also works in the religious songs genre. Listener, before we continue to discuss more about Fatin as an Indonesian religious singer, let's listen to another song from Fatin entitled Cahaya di Langit Itu. Happy listening. Now that was Cahaya di Langit Itu by Fatin that became one of the original soundtrack of the Indonesian film entitled 99 Cahaya di Langit Eropa. The song does have different lyrics, but the arrangement is quite similar to the song Kekasihmu that we have heard at the beginning of our encounter. Listener, more about Fatin. As mentioned earlier, Fatin has released several religious songs besides the two songs we've listened before. There are also other titles such as Proud of You Muslim and Oh Tuhan. Every Ramadan, Fatin performs religious songs both on televisions and other events. Even in this 2017, Fatin also released a familiar religious song for Indonesian people, namely Ketika Tangan dan Kaki Berkata, that had been popularized by Krisya. Okay, listener, that was all about Music Corner for today that presented a religious singer from Indonesia named Fatin. To close this music corner, let's listen to two songs entitled Ketika Tangan dan Kaki Berkata and Proud of You Muslim. Happy listening and see you again on the next music corner.
Terima kasih.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz. 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.